Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. It is good to be together again today, and you join a growing group of listeners across this country and around this world. I'm thinking about you and praying for you. If you pray, can I ask that you include this ministry and me in your intercession before the Lord? I thank you. Pray that God will derive much honor and glory and worship from our hearts. I pray that those who have yet to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ soon will. Thank God that He is protecting us from Satan and meeting our every need as we follow Jesus in a world that dishonors God by rejecting His one and only Son. We thank God that He hears our prayers, and we thank God that He answers. We return today to the Old Testament book of Job. I hope that you benefit in some way from what you hear on God Is. If so, I encourage you again to write to me and let me know how this broadcast and or podcast is helping you. You can get me via email or letter sent to my post office box, which is checked regularly. My addresses are repeated daily at the end, and I hope to hear from you soon. If you write to me for the first time, I will send you this free gift, Knowing God by J.I. Packer, if you include your mailing address. Thanks for your note. When we left off yesterday, we'd come to the last verse in Act 1, Scene 1 of Job. I will remind you that we began with the prologue, Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then we watched Act 1, Scene 1, Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, and so now we are ready for Job Act 1, Scene 2. This will be Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 22. However, because our time is limited, I want to move us through the book of Job at a certain pace, and therefore I am not going to spend time with a verse-by-verse teaching of this second scene. Instead, what I am going to do is summarize for you what happens in Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 19, and then focus our attention on verses 20 through 22. Maybe this will help. As we make the transition from scene 1 to scene 2, I'm going to reread verse 12 and make a comment. I'm reading now from Job chapter 1, verse 12. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not put forth your hand on Job." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. God gives Satan permission to leave heaven, to return to earth, and to use Satan's power to go after Job. There is now an opening in God's hedge around Job that was not there before. This opening is not because Job sinned. This opening is not because Satan has unlimited power. Satan does not have unlimited power. Only God has unlimited power. The opening in the hedge of protection is the result of God's will. The only way Satan can get to Job is if God lets him. Nothing can happen to Job without it first passing through the will of God. Now we are ready for scene 2 because scene 1 ends with these words, "Satan departed from the presence of the Lord." Satan leaves heaven for the land of Uz. As I have said, I am not going to comment on any of the verses in Job 1, verses 13 through 19. I strongly encourage you to read this passage on your own, today if possible. You will see that Satan attacks with a vengeance. He strips away Job's possessions and then Job's children. The only point I want to stress with you is this. Job's possessions are all taken away and his 10 children died because Satan did this to Job. God did not do this. Satan did. And God, making this clear in His Word, is intriguing for us in our own trials. We can ask, sometimes in deep pain, hurt, even bitterness, did God do this to me? Or did Satan do this to me? Some Christians even go all or nothing at this point. Either everything bad that happens to me, God did it. Or the more common response, everything bad that happens to me, Satan did it. Well, here in Job 1, verses 13 through 19, we find that Satan is responsible. However, God is still in charge. Remember, God is the one who has granted Satan permission to do what Satan then does in verses 13 through 19. So that whenever you are the recipient of some trial, remember, God is still in charge over your life. And God is either causing the trial or allowing the trial. If Satan brings the trial into your life, he has done so with God's permission. But Satan is not the one in charge. Satan does not have command of your life, brothers and sisters. Satan does not have that kind of power over you, dear Christian. Satan is not in control. God is in control. Okay, that's a lesson full of practical application that we will come back to. Where I want to focus here in scene one is on verses 20 through 22. Let me read for us Job chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. Then Job arose and tore his robes and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. I just read Job chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. And here I want to give you four insights into what Job does in response to Satan's personal attack. I have four insights, and here's the first. Job grieves with God. Job grieves with God. This is the reality of verse 20. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground. He tore his robe and shaved his head. These are signs of grief. Listen to how Jacob responded when he was told wrongly of the death of his son Joseph in Genesis 37, verse 34. This is Genesis chapter 37, verse 34. So Jacob tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. Notice how Jacob, in mourning, tore his clothes. So did Job. And Ezekiel, speaking of the mourning that comes in judgment, wrote this in Ezekiel 7, verse 18. I'm reading Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 18. They will gird themselves with sackcloth, and shuddering will overwhelm them, and shame will be on all faces, and baldness on all their heads. In grief, they will go bald by shaving their heads. Job shaved his head amidst his anguish. What did Job do when he learned his children were all dead? And remember, they were one big happy family. They loved each other very well. Job grieved deeply. My friends, Job is very human, just like us. It is human to grieve. Jesus did at the tomb of Lazarus and elsewhere. But Job did not grieve alone. He grieves with God. Which leads me to my second insight. Job worships God. God is here. Job's response in his suffering is to bow to the ground before God and worship him. God comes to grieve with us, and even then he anticipates and deserves our worship. Now a critic will object, "You foolish person, you are going to worship God after what has happened to you?" But the child of God is too engaged in the worship of God to even address this criticism. The unbeliever does not get it. The immature believer often does not get it. But if you know God, if you have been saved from your sin by his son Jesus, if you fear God and turn away from evil, then as he comes to you in your grief, you respond to him with your worship. If you have the conviction that God is always in charge, then you will worship God. Job worships God. Verse 20 flat out says it, Job worshiped. Job worships God because, here's my third insight, Job believes God. First, Job grieves with God. Second, Job worships God. And now third, Job believes God. Listen again to Job 1, part of verse 21. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is a stunning statement, isn't it? I mean, how could Job say this after what happened to his family? It's like listening to a Christian couple that loses their beloved son or daughter to death, say from a car accident, and they go on television or the internet, the radio. Perhaps they stand up at church and talk about how faithful God is and how they want to honor God even amidst their grief. And we ask, how can they do that? How can they say that? And the answer is, this couple believes God, and Job believed God. But believed what about God? Well, Job believed in the supremacy of God. God is superior to all others in authority, power, and status. God reigns and God rules and God is in charge. God is sovereign at all times and over all circumstances. Job believed this about God. He says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job made his choice. Was he going to try to banish God from his life, or was he going to choose to believe God in his life? Job chose belief. He doubled down. He tripled down on what he already believed about God before his possessions and children were all taken away. And we will have to stop here for now, but when you return tomorrow, Lord willing, we will resume our look at Job's response to God in Job 1, verses 20 through 22. So join me again tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.